you for joining us at Fellowship Church. The following is a message from Pastor Anthony. For additional information, check us out at fellowshipsalem.com.
Let's do our message. This next week, we're going to be introducing a new intern that's joining us here as a church. We're super stoked about that as well. If you're ever interested in interning in a church or a ministry, talk to me. We can talk about that, or we can send you places that you can do so. So Vision Weekends. I was thinking about what to share with all of you this weekend. And as I was thinking about that, there was a moment that came to me in my mind that I experienced early this last March. And early this last March, I had the opportunity to go to Southern California, and I went to the beach. And when I say I went to the beach, I mean I went to every beach. Every beach I could go to over the course of 5 days. And that's what I do whenever I go to California. I just love to soak up as much sun as humanly possible. Because how many of you strangers, you guys that love fall are weird, but how many of you love summer and sunshine and blue skies? You're like, you live in the wrong state for this. I know. But I love Southern California beaches. And this one particular day I was running, I started in Redondo Beach and I ran all the way to Manhattan Beach. That's a long ways. And on the way back, I was walking on the way back and I stopped in this town, Hermosa Beach. And I stopped and I took this picture. And after I took this picture, I walked down on the sand and I sat for a while and just kind of thinking and walking around. And I had a really difficult winter last winter. I went through some hard times. I had a really difficult fall. And I was really frustrated and I was really trying to spend a couple of days just me and Jesus to kind of seek him on what does God want me to do? And that's kind of the question I was asking. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to focus on? How in the world am I supposed to lead this church? How am I supposed to lead this community, this group of people? And one of the questions I was struggling with was like, am I even making a difference doing what you've called me to do? Because sometimes when you're doing what God calls you to do, it doesn't even feel like you're making a difference. And so I was super frustrated, and I was just crying out to God, what am I supposed to focus on? And then I asked God, how am I supposed to lead this church? What is this church supposed to focus on? What are we as Christians supposed to focus on? And I was looking for God to give me this really hyper-spiritual answer. How many of you know when you're looking for God to give you some super hyper spiritual answers, a lot of times the answers he gives are very, very simple. And so I was crying out to God, God, what's the big spiritual answer you've got for me? And the Holy Spirit spoke very clearly to my heart. And this is what he said, Jesus. And I was like, no, Holy Spirit, you've got this wrong. Jesus is always the answer. I know. I've been following Jesus for a long time, and how many of you know that whenever a question is asked in church, 50% of the time the answer is Jesus? And so I was like, no, God, the answer is not Jesus, but the Spirit spoke to me again and says, focus on Jesus. I was like, that's always the answer. What do you want me to do, God? And he said, focus on Jesus. And here's what I love to do, and I don't know about you, but I love to make things way more complicated than that. I like to focus on the small things in order to see some of the big pictures, but what God wanted me to focus on is the big picture. And I started to think about it, like, what is this book about? What is this whole book about? Like, I want to know what this book is about. I want to be able to tell people what this book is about. I want to be able to lead people to follow what's in this book. And the Holy Spirit just said to me, Jesus. And I realized that the whole Old Testament of this book is pointing people to Jesus. And the New Testament is either writing about Jesus or it's looking back at the life of Jesus. And now as the church, we're now looking forward to the coming of Jesus. And so what on earth are we supposed to focus on? How am I supposed to lead this church? What are we supposed to do? And the answer that kept coming and coming and coming every time was just simply this very simple answer, and it was Jesus. You see, everything is about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was calling me to focus on Christ, and the Holy Spirit was calling me to call this local church to focus on Christ. And if you're watching us online right now, I want to tell you, if you want to know what you're supposed to do this school year, I can't give you a better answer than just simply focus on Jesus. And so this is the verse that came to me as I was crying out to God, what am I supposed to focus on? And the verse is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, the Spirit is leading him to write to a church that he founded and who he walked with for a matter of time to found this church and to grow this church in Corinth. And if you've ever read 1 or 2 Corinthians, man, that's a screwed up church. And so he's writing them, hey guys, remember what I taught you. And so he says in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2, he says, when I came to you, talking to the Corinthians, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Verse 2, he says, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, with all of his theological knowledge, with all of his theological wisdom, with all of his past and legalism and religion, with all of the people he was leading to Christ and all the stories and testimonies that he had about suffering, man, he could have focused on so much more when he was with the Corinthians. But he says, at the end of the day, the bottom line is this: it's Christ and him crucified. That's all that matters. That's the thing that matters. And what Paul is saying to them and what I'm saying to you today and what the Spirit is speaking to us is that if we don't have that, we don't have anything. And see, it's so tempting to focus on so many things in the church. It's so tempting to focus on so many things within our faith that really don't have anything to do with Jesus. And if you were to remove Jesus from some of the things we focus on, we would still have those things. But the real faith is when we remove Jesus from something and we have nothing left because Jesus is all we have. And so try not any longer to be focusing on things that are not about Jesus, because Paul says, at the end of the day, it was about Christ and it was about him crucified. That's what I focused on when I was among you. Now, if you've been serving Christ for a long time, you're like me and I'm like, but wait, the Apostle Paul could have sat them all down and could have preached or taught a Bible study on the very important differences between Arminian and Reformed theology. And you're like, but did those things exist in the New Testament? That depends on your viewpoint on those two things. The Apostle Paul could have sat down with them and he could have lectured them on the validity of the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. He could have sat them down with a big poster and showed them graphs with flannel stickies about end times theology and end times prophecy. The Apostle Paul could have educated them on proper political activism within the Roman Empire. He could have walked them through the Jewish feasts and how they relate to Christianity. Out of all the things Paul could have focused on, at the end of the day, it was Jesus and him crucified. Christ alone and him crucified. And those things all matter, by the way. These things, these little things do matter, but if we don't have Jesus, these things mean nothing. And so Paul, before he really gets to start blasting them about some of the messed up stuff they're involved in, he's like, hey guys, I just need to remind you that while I was there, our focus was Jesus, and you've gotten radically off track. At the end of the day, the bottom line, it's all about Christ and him crucified. And it has to be like that for us as well. See, there's all sorts of things we could focus on. There are all sorts of issues, but at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. And he came in the flesh. He was born of a virgin. He was tempted in every way, just like we are, but was without sin. Jesus lived a perfect, holy, sinless life that I could never live, that you could never live. He lived it in our place, in the flesh, on our behalf. Jesus was arrested, he was beaten, he was flogged, and he was crucified on a Roman executioner's cross, and he hung on a cross where he became our sins, where he bore the weight and the punishment for our sins. And Jesus bore our punishment on himself, the wrath of God poured out on God the Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus died an excruciating death on a cross in our place that we deserve to die, taking all of our punishment and replacing it with his righteousness. He died, and 3 days later, he resurrected from the grave, forever defeating Satan, sin, hell, and death. And so, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, what do we find? We find forgiveness of our sins. We find a restored relationship with God. We find the gift and the power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we find everlasting life. And so Jesus came. He lived. He died. He rose again. And what we call salvation through Jesus, it is that forgiveness of sins, restored relationship with God, the power of the Spirit, and everlasting life. And Jesus, why do we need to focus on him? Because only Jesus can give that. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus offers salvation, yes, and it only comes through him, but he offers it not because we've earned it or deserve it. It's the exact opposite. He offers it because it is a gift of grace that only he alone can give, and grace is getting exactly what we don't deserve. We deserved hell, but God gave us his son. We deserved death, but Jesus gives us his life. We deserve punishment, but God gives us his grace and his love and his forgiveness. And so this gift from Jesus is an undeserved gift of grace, and we must receive that in faith. Ephesians 2, we quoted it when we were praying over Bridget. Salvation comes as a gift of grace through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God so that no one may boast. We receive this beautiful salvation gift of grace from Jesus by putting our trust in him. That's why Romans 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. It says, with our heart we believe and we are justified, and with our mouth we confess and we are saved. Then it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so why should we focus on Jesus? Why should Jesus be the object of our faith? That's because he's the one who did it all. And so our focus has to be on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews 1:3. The Spirit leads the author of Hebrews to write that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of God's nature. Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So we've got to look to Jesus, because Hebrews 12 says that Jesus is the author and the finisher, or the founder and the perfecter of our faith, and who for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. He despised its shame, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What are we going to focus on this year? Jesus. What are you going to focus on? Jesus. What are you going to focus on this week? The answer has got to be, has always got to be, it has to be Jesus. What are we going to do? Which direction will we lead our church in? What's our grand vision for this church in the year 2017-18? It's a one-word answer, and it is Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 3. John's writing about Jesus as the Spirit leads him to, and he says, all things were made through Jesus. And without Jesus was not anything made that was made. So here's what our hope is in. Here's where our joy is that Jesus is coming back soon. Jesus will judge the living and the dead. Jesus has authority to cast into hell, and Jesus has the authority to save from hell. Jesus will reign over his people forever in a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus is worthy of our praise. So God, how should I lead this church this year? Am I making a difference? Where should we go? What direction should we look to? What are we supposed to focus on as Christians? And even after God revealed that to me, I so badly just wanted to say, okay, we're going to focus on good works. We're going to focus on evangelism. We're going to focus on relational help. We're going to focus on sexual purity. We're going to focus on all these things. But the answer was not any of those things. The answer was, focus on Jesus. our vision for 2017, our vision for 2018 as a local community is to focus on Jesus. And so what's our vision? We're going to be unveiling it some more next weekend, but before we get to any details, those details mean absolutely nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. So this year, we're going to focus on the life of Jesus. This year, we're going to focus on the teachings of Jesus. This year, we're going to focus on the miracles of Jesus. This year, we're going to focus on the actions of Jesus. This year, we're going to focus on the crucifixion of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to focus on the salvation that only Jesus can give. We're going to focus on how would Jesus react in a circumstance like this. We're going to focus on how would Jesus speak in a circumstance like this. We're going to focus on where would Jesus go if he were in my shoes? How would Jesus love if he was in this situation? And if you're kicking it old school 1990s, we're going to even ask the question, what would Jesus do? Who had that bracelet? Shame on you. I was too cool for that bracelet. But we're going to focus on these things. And so, okay, that's cool. Don't we focus on Jesus every week? And the answer to that is, yeah, we do. But this year, as God was imparting this to me, that we've got to focus on Jesus, he gave me some very bad church growth advice, Jesus did. And it was this. The entire year, I want you to walk through one of my gospels. And I was like, no, the Holy Spirit, what you don't understand is that for people to really be involved in church and for people to want to be connected and continue momentum and growth in a church, you need to do a new series every 4 weeks. And like if you're really pushing it, like 10 weeks is the ultimate max you can ever preach on something. And the Holy Spirit said, no, spend the whole year focusing on one of my gospels. So every year in July and in June, we gather some leaders and teachers together in our church and we just pray and fast and dream and envision about what the Lord would want us to speak on the next coming year. And we plan out the year in July. And so I sat this team down and I said, hey, here's the deal, guys. We're not going to really be dreaming much this year. It's just going to be one of the gospels. And here's what we're going to be asking the Lord. We're going to ask the Lord which gospel we're going to focus on this year. Which one of the gospels should we focus on for an entire year? And we prayed and we talked and we prayed and we talked and everybody decided on one book. It's the shortest of all of them. It's Mark. So not only are we going to spend a whole year in a gospel, but the Lord led us to focus on the shortest one. And focus on the shortest one for an entire year, and it's the book of Mark. And if you've ever read the book of Mark before, it is an action book. It is the actions of Jesus. It's just boom, 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 action. And so the Lord led us to focus on the book of Mark for an entire year. And so we had to dream big about what that message series was going to be called. We had to get on our knees and pray and fast and ask the Lord to show up with signs of fire about what that message series would be called. And when God led us to name this message series for the year, here was the great answer that came. Jesus. No, God, that's not cool. You know, how can we relate it to something trending for like Generation Y or millennials? How will they connect with it? And the name of the message series is just going to be Jesus, hashtag a look at Mark's gospel. Can we just call it Mark? Can we call it a look at Mark's gospel? Can we call it action heroes of the first century? And the Lord was just like, no, just call it Jesus and keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple. Focus on me. And so that's what we're going to do. An entire year chasing after Jesus in the book of Mark to see where Jesus wants to lead our church this year, because Mark is a book of action and the church is supposed to be on the move, all about action and following the actions of Jesus. And so this year, the big reveal is that we're just going to be looking at the book of Mark with the message series called Jesus. We're going to start that in 2 weeks. We're going to intro the book of Mark, and we're going to go verse by verse by verse through this book, and we're going to learn as much about Jesus as we can. Is that all right, by the way? If it's not, who cares? We already decided. The Lord led us. You don't really get a choice. You can leave or you can stay and be a part. I hope you stay and be a part because Jesus is a pretty big deal, and that's who we should be focusing on. And so, okay, that's cool, but this is Vision Week, and what are our plans? What's our goal? Jesus. And next week, I am going to reveal some very, very specific plans about what are we going to do as a church to follow Jesus and focus on Jesus. And we're going to make some exciting announcements next week. But I want to point just to one more scripture today to kind of give you an idea of, okay, what's our goal? What's our theme as we focus on Jesus? And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at Matthew 16. And it's all ice. Nothing came out. So in this verse, Matthew 16, what we've got going on is Jesus, he takes his 12 disciples up to a place called Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is a place in the far northern regions of the nation of Israel. It is the furthest place that Jesus ever goes on his earthly ministry away from the central part of Israel. Takes him to Caesarea Philippi, and Caesarea Philippi has the springs of the Jordan River up there to the north. And the Jordan River runs south into the Sea of Galilee, and the springs of the Jordan are there. But Caesarea Philippi also was a very unique place. We don't have a lot of time to get into this, but basically for hundreds and hundreds of years, pagans had worshipped the false demon god Pan there in Caesarea Philippi. And there's this big cave near the springs of the Jordan River, and the cave at the springs of the Jordan River was called the Gates of Hell. And how many of you, if you want to go hiking to a cave, you definitely want to check out the one called the Gates of Hell, because that's where the best adventure is going to be. And so Jesus takes them to the Gates of Hell in Caesarea Philippi at the springs of the Jordan River, where the pagan demon god Pan was worshipped. Now, if you signed up to go on a tour with Jesus, this is the last place in the world you would think Jesus would bring you, right? It's a weird place. But Jesus takes them there, and while they're there, I can just imagine the disciples thinking, why are we here? Like, we just walked a long way to visit the Gates of Hell. There's spooky sacrifices going on here to this pagan god Pan. Why are we here? And Jesus, he asked them this question, who do people say that I am? And so the disciples, they start giving Jesus answers. Well, Jesus, some say you're a good teacher. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist reincarnated. That's weird. People are saying all sorts of things, but Jesus already knew the answer to those questions. Jesus's point was not to ask them what people were saying about him. Jesus's point was to ask them this question here. Who do you say I am? And if we're going to focus on Jesus this year, we have to ask ourselves that question. Who do we say Jesus is? And so Jesus asked the disciples that question. And like always, teacher's pet Peter gets to always answer with a cool answer. And he answers for everybody else. He's like, oh, I know. This is who we say you are, Jesus. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that's a big deal. Number one, to say that Jesus was the Christ, that would mean that he was the sent Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for. The word meant the anointed one. And so Peter said, the Messiah we've been waiting for centuries for, it's you. You are the anointed sent one of God. You are the Savior of the world. But Peter did not stop there. He didn't just say, you are the Christ. He said, you are the Son of the living God. That was a highly controversial thing to say. Because in that day and in that culture, if someone were to say that someone was a son of someone else, what they were saying was, you have all the power and rights and authority of your father. So Peter said, you're the Messiah and you're equal with God to be worshipped and praised. And so Peter said, you are God, our Savior. And in the name Jesus, Yeshua, it means God saves. And so he is God, and he is the Savior. Now, if Peter was wrong, which, man, he was not wrong, Jesus would have said, whoa, Peter, you're way out of line. But instead, this is what Jesus says to Peter. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." He calls him by his given family name. He said, "Peter, you're blessed." He says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Peter, I know you're kind of dumb. You're a little bit slow. You didn't think of this on your own. The Father revealed this to you." He said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And so he says, "You're right. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. God has opened up your heart to be able to see who I really am." And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "You are Peter." Like, yeah, we've established that already. That's what you call me. He says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, this word Peter, in Greek, loosely, it's this word Petros. And the name Peter, in Greek, here's what it means. Rock. Not only rock, but it means little rock. And so he says, "Yes, I am the Christ, I am the Son of the living God, and you are a rock, Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church." This is fun if you've been to our membership class before. We talk about this a little bit, but what rock is Jesus talking about? There's three choices. Number one, he could be talking about Peter and saying, "You are a little rock, and Peter, I'm going to build my church on you." And actually, about a year later, Peter preached the first sermon where 3,000 people at least were saved. And so Jesus kind of built his church on Peter. And that's why Catholics believe that Peter was the first pope. We don't believe that, but we'll give him some credit. Like, that makes a little bit of sense. There's a second option for that rock that Jesus said that he could build his church on. And the second rock was actually the rock where they were. The rock where they were, it was called the gates of hell, right? That's where they were. They were at a rock called the gates of hell where this pagan god Pan was being worshipped. And so Jesus said, "Yeah, you're right. And on this rock, I will build my church." And so what we know is that Jesus defeats Satan, sin, hell, and death. And so, yeah, Jesus does build his church on the gates of hell. We'll get to that in a second. But here's what Jesus really means. Peter just said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "That's right. And on that, I will build my church." The rock that Jesus is talking about is the foundational rock of the church. And the foundational rock of the church is Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is our foundation. And that's what Jesus builds his church on. When people confess that he's the Christ, when people confess that he is the Son of the living God, Jesus builds his church on that foundation. And by the way, that's the first time the word church ever shows up in the Bible. And it is this word, this Greek word, ecclesia, which basically means a community of people. And Jesus says, on the foundation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'm going to build up a new kind of ecclesia, a new kind of community. And he says this, "And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it." So let's look at it together. Peter, you're right. On this rock that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'm going to build a new kind of ecclesia, and the gates of hell, that's where we're at, by the way, the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. Here's the traditional wrong Christian understanding of that verse. How many of you like the Lord of the Rings movies? They're all right. A little bit long, but they're good. But I love battle sequences in the Lord of the Rings where there's orcs and elves and dwarves and people with cool languages they're speaking, and they're fighting and throwing dwarves and they're fighting with swords. You guys like that? That's pretty cool. How many of you have seen the new Wonder Woman movie? Very good, actually. And there's this couple incredible fight scenes in Wonder Woman. It's just like, yes, I love fighting scenes like this. But in these epic fight movies, I have never seen someone carrying a gate to go on the offense against an enemy. Like, "We're coming with gates!" It's always swords and spears and bows and arrows and tar and feather and catapults and fists and bullets and missiles. No one ever runs with a gate. Like, Kim Jong-un is not threatening America with gates right now. It's missiles. So gates are not an offensive weapon. Gates are defensive. So Jesus said, on the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Mark is a book of action. The church is a church of action. The church is supposed to be active for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are going into dark places like the gates of hell, Jesus promises us that the gates of hell will not be able to stand against us when we're going in the name of Jesus. And so the church has to be on mission, not on defense. So, okay, what does that have to do with our goal and our theme for this year? It's this. Who builds the church? Jesus. On this rock, I will build my church. Jesus is the one who builds the church. Jesus is the one who builds his church. Not pastors, not elders, not deacons, not apostles, not youth pastors, not worship leaders, not cool fog machines and cool laser lights. Jesus builds his church. He's the one who does it. And so when we declare that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's the foundation that allows Jesus to do what he does, and that's to build his church. And so if you want to know the secret to church growth, it's that Jesus grows his church. And that when we put our focus on Jesus, he grows his church. And so our focus for this year, our theme, our goal for this year is, yes, we're going to focus on Jesus. That's our vision. But as we're focusing on Jesus while he's building his church, we're going to ask him to grow ours. We're going to ask Jesus to grow our church, which is really his church. So there are some specifics we want to grow in this year, and we'll get to that next week. But the bottom line this year is that I want to grow in Christ. The bottom line this year is I want you to grow in Christ. The bottom line this year is that we need to grow in Christ because all good things grow. We'll look at that next week. All healthy things grow. We'll look at that next week. But if we are really serious about having the Spirit of God live inside of us, we have to grow in Christ this year. And if we're not growing, I don't know where we're going. So our theme this year is to grow. Did you grow in Christ last year? Did you shrink? Did you grow? Did you become stagnant? Did you remain the same? Did you grow a little bit and then take some steps backwards? I don't know where you're at, but I know it was a rough year for me, and I know that this year I want to commit to growing in Christ. How many of you want that this year? You want to grow in Jesus, and we're going to do it together. And so as we wrap this message up, I'm going to reveal a couple things for you, kind of where we're going, and next year's all cool big announcements. But there's a few areas that I want you to focus on that we can help you grow in Christ with this year. Number one is this: small groups. Small groups are the best way to get connected at any church, the best way to get connected at this church. You can't really get connected to people by going to church services. You need to meet with people to do life with them, to minister together, to minister with them, to teach together, to study the Bible together, to pray together. And so we do small groups here at Fellowship Church in semesters. Maybe you're from a church where you started a small group in 1987 and you're still in it. It still goes. Like, that's just not us. We do them in semesters for 3 months. And so our small groups for this semester start on October the 8th. That's a Sunday. And small groups conclude the week before Christmas. We'll have new groups start up again in the new year. And then over the summer, we do things called activity groups. And so one way that you can grow in Christ this year, that your church can come alongside and help you with, is small groups. And so on your connection card that you have in your program, could you take that out right now, by the way? And Adam, just like the water, can you actually hand me a connection card? Because I'm just the pastor. I don't know what our groups actually are. So we got a lot of groups for you to choose from this particular semester. We have four different sermon reflection small groups. So what are you going to be studying in the sermon reflection small groups? The book of Mark. And so we've got one in North Salem. We've got one in Central Salem. We have one in Northeast Salem. We also have a young adult group, which is 18 to 25 and graduated from high school. That's going to be in South Salem. That's also a sermon reflection group. We also have a newly engaged / newly married small group. And so this is for newlyweds of under 5 years or people who are engaged. And that is going to be on Sunday nights in Northeast Salem. And then we have the Book of James study group in Staten on Sunday nights as well. Tuesdays, we'll be having a men's small group in Southeast Salem, And on Thursdays, we'll have a James small group in Northeast Salem, and we have a women's group in Southeast Salem. So lots of different groups you can choose from. You can sign up on your connection card. Please do that now so we can get you in a group soon. You can also sign up on our website. There's a way to sign up for groups there also. So small groups are one way you can grow in Christ this year. Next thing is this. One way that we can grow in Christ is to continue to meet in community, to be taught the word of God, to be encouraged. And so this year, we are relaunching our men's and our women's ministries. For the last several years, our women's ministry was called Female Factor, and our men's ministry was called Iron Men. This year, in honor of our good friends, Jin and Sun, our men's and women's ministries are called Him and Her. And so if you don't know who Jin and Sun are, welcome to the cult. We'll ask later. We'll let you in. So Him is our men's group that is going to be putting out some content I'll tell you about in a minute. And then Her is our women's ministry. Chris Cherry, who did a phenomenal job at leading Iron Men, is still continuing to be the leader of Him. That sounds weird. Chris is the leader of Him. And then we have a new women's ministry coordinator this year who is leading Her, and her name is Haley Lambert, is now the women's ministry coordinator at Fellowship Church. And one of the things that was going on in the beach in Southern California was God was really teaching me how we could reach men and women better. And so what we're going to be doing is weekly, we will be offering you teaching to men and to women either through a YouTube channel that will be disseminated through social media and a website. And we're hoping to minister to women well beyond our local church and community, and our men's ministry will be putting out videos as well, teaching and encouraging men. On the off weeks where there's no video, we're going to have a blog ministry where we've got a women's team who will be writing content to encourage and teach and disciple women, and we have, again, a men's writing team who will be writing to encourage and disciple and to challenge men. And you might be like, well, what about Female Factor and Iron Men Nights? We're still doing those, but we're now calling those the big event. And the big event is going to be quarterly instead of monthly. We'll have a quarterly big event for men and for women with worship and food and preaching and groups and a lot of exciting things. And our first big event is going to be in January. So that is the launch of our new men's and women's ministry. And then finally, two last things I want to tell you about, ways that you can grow in Christ this year. While we're studying the book of Mark, we can actually go to where Jesus walked, and our church is doing our first ever Israel trip, and a lot of you know about this already. But Fellowship Church is going to be going to Israel June the 26th through July the 6th. My wife and I will be going. Our youth director, Jeff Bennett, will be going. We want to invite you to go with us. I believe Pastor John Phelan from West Salem Foursquare Church is going to be coming with us also. And next weekend after our Sunday service, Eileen from the Israel Tour Company, she's going to be here after our service to answer any questions you have about the trip. But here's what you need to know. You need to register by November 15th. And so there's a $500 deposit that's due by the 15th. But I believe this will be a great way for you to grow this year in Christ. And then the final thing is this. We are happy to announce a new missions trip that we have planned for this year, and we actually kind of have another one in the talks too. But the missions trip that we have on the calendar planned for this year, because one great way to grow in Christ is to serve outside of your comfort zone. Fellowship Church is going to be going to Anchor of Hope. It is an orphanage and ministry to disabled children in Baja, Mexico. We're going to be going to Anchor of Hope during spring break. And so we're leaving on March 23rd. And coming back the day before Easter, March 31st. This is a unique missions trip because, A, we are going to be focusing predominantly on getting high schoolers from our church to go on this missions trip and also getting college students to go on this trip as well. But if that's not you, and if you're old like me, you're welcome to go as well. But we're really wanting to teach young people the value of serving. And so if you are an older adult, i.e. over 26 years old, come and mentor and bless and encourage and challenge some of these high schoolers and college students who are going to be going on this trip. Tomorrow, I know you're here tonight, but if you watch online tomorrow, Austin Robinson, the founder of Anchor of Hope, is actually going to be here with us. He's going to share a few details about the organization. But before I get off the stage, I'm going to show you like a minute and a half video that kind of gives a very broad idea of what this place is like, so you can be praying about if you would like to go or not. Anchor of Hope. That's going to be spring break. If you'd like to go, we'll have price details for you soon. But if you're interested in going, you can sign up on your connection card. And Stacy Cardoza, who is our missions coordinator, and or Paula Lehman, who is our community outreach director, they'll reach out to you, help you plan the details you need to be able to go to Baja this spring break. So you excited about what God's going to do through us this year? So just be praying, be focusing on Jesus. Come back next week. We're going to unveil some really big things we're going to be doing and some exciting news for our church. But I just wanted to give you a hint this weekend that Jesus is a big deal. He's our focus. He's our goal. So God, we glorify you tonight. We ask you that your spirit would fill us to be able to be equipped to do your work. Lord Jesus, as we transition into this time of worship through song, in communion, in the giving of tithes and offerings and ministering to one another, I ask in Jesus' name that you would allow us to be able to focus on you here, and that what we would do here today would not stop in this place, but it would be transferred into our workplace on Monday morning. God, we praise you, and Jesus, as we're focusing on you this year, we just declare that you have the name above every name. And we're looking forward to the day that all will confess that you are Lord to the glory of your Father. Jesus, I thank you that it's only through you that we find salvation and that you are the one true hope that we have in this confusing world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
For listening to this message from Fellowship Church. Please consider supporting our mission by visiting us at fellowshipsalem.com/give.